Well, welcome everybody to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study, which invites men obviously too, but it's us four women here on the mics. We have Ann and Karen with us in good downtown Grace Ranch.
Hello everybody. Good evening everybody.
And Megan and myself here in Pleasant, Vermont. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
Fine. It was a lovely day today.
Wasn't it? Spring is such a lovely time in Vermont. I've never seen so many robins ever. Of course, we have one with four eggs right on our porch, which is just a lovely thing.
That is cool. We're going to take a look at guidance. And just so you know, there is on the website, the scripture references we're going to be taking a look at tonight so that you have them as a resource and, as all the various things on the website are. But this is one of them. It's entitled Guidance. I believe it's under the scripture references, for future reference. So, Karen, if you would read Psalm 25, Verse 14.
The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant.
The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And that secret is the one of the examples in the Bible that came to my mind was when the Lord and two angels came down and to Abraham. And as they were leaving, Jesus says, should we hide from Abraham the thing that we are doing? And, of course, he shared with Abraham, and it's an interesting testimony there because he gives, let me just read it to you. It's in chapter 18 of Genesis. Verses 17 through 19, and it says, And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Here's the interesting part to me. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Abraham had a right fear of God. Well, he had a fear of God. And he feared God and he didn't fear man. And we see many testimonies of that, although I don't mean to say Abraham didn't fall short, but his fear of God was rightly placed. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And that's the counsel, God's ways, that which is hidden from those who don't. And he will show them his covenant. And we certainly know that he showed Abraham. And it's that which he is showing us even now. That's why we join together in fellowship and in the Word, is that we might, that covenant that he made with us through the blood of Jesus Christ is one that becomes sure and steadfast. He will show them his covenant. And that's why we're here, isn't it? To know him and the power of his resurrection, to know, to learn his ways, to have this verse here come to pass in our lives. I open the floor to you muted ladies.
And another thing to point out too is that he will show them his covenant. He will do it, and he's faithful to what he promises in his word.
Yes.
And throughout the word, it talks about how he will do these things, and he will guide us. if we allow him to.
Well, you know, he will show them, those that fear him, his covenant. There is always something on us. Well, and we read it in Genesis there with Abraham. I know him, that he will command his family. And he will do these things that the word of God. Let me go back and read it because I'm not seeming to say it right. But it puts it in the right perspective. God knew Abraham. And it was because of that walk that Abraham had walked in him, where God had was able to say that, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant.
You know, the Lord does it. You said some, you know, that we have a part to play. The thing he asks for us to do is to believe him.
Yeah.
And to then show it by doing his word, by stepping forward. We were talking earlier and, you know, Robin mentioned about falling where you are. Well, we always fall where we are, but we get up and move forward. At least that is the call on us. That is why you count it to be a joyful thing when you fall. Not that you fell, but that you have a reminder of what it is that is acceptable to the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. And then you're able to move forward kind of, cause we fall. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. We think somehow that we are okay or that we are doing such a wonderful thing, whatever, you know, we get into pride has many faces and we slip into it very easily.
And we feel like a success story.
Yes, for some of those stories are very short.
Yeah.
but our, the fact that we fall gives us the opportunity to remember that the only thing we have to offer the Lord is Jesus and the fact that we believed it, believed him, and that that is all that is acceptable to him. So, as you said, you know, those that fear him, he will show them his covenant. He will show you, if you fear him, he will show you how to trust him, how to walk in him, how to walk through your day and rightly minister to people. He will show you because the fact that you fear him shows that that's where your faith is and your trust, not in yourself, but in him.
They said something last night in the Bible study that struck me among many things, but let me read to you from the notes on that. It says, we hear being led by the Spirit. We hear walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is not saying you're not going to sin in the flesh. Lust of the flesh seeks to put you back under the law. So there was a distinction made here. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to let that happen mean you're not going to go let it bring you back under the law. As though what the works that you do make you acceptable to God. As Megan said, it is what Jesus did that makes us acceptable to God. And I know for myself, well, I know obedience is a fundamental thing to learn to be a servant of God. But I know that this is true of all of us, you know, before we come to know the Lord, there ain't nothing right about us, not one single thing because we're only evil and the thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually. And to believe God that he can change me. And it's not based upon my great understanding or my great strength or my great will or anything like that. But if I will not give up that hope and press and put off, and even that putting off is one done in faith, and sometimes, shucks, a lot of times putting it off. But I know listening to Steve on Sunday, because Steve talks a lot about the battle, and he's, of course, I get to see him in person. He's pretty physical about the description. But I know in my life right now I have some things going on that I can wake up in the morning and probably for like a week fairly recently, I'd wake up in the morning and I was just instantly kind of overwhelmed and I couldn't put it off. And I say that, that's how I felt. And I remember one morning I finally just got louder verbally than my flesh so that it would shut up, because it was pretty flippin' loud and it shut up, because I know that which is needful in a day, I am able to perform it. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I think is needful. I know that which is needful, I can do. And I know some of them right up front. I know that my service to Steve in the law office is really preeminent over other things. And then, you know, the other things that my life holds, I'm able to do that which is that the Lord calls me to do. But sometimes you do got to get loud and you got to put off, because for me, it is driven the desire to hear and to do, because I've come to recognize that if I don't, I'm in disobedience to the Lord himself, and that's not a safe place. And for me, that would be one of the definitions of fear of the Lord. And because of that fear, even if I seem to spend days where I just don't see any great progress in me, I don't give up and I set myself to press on, no matter what I feel like at the end of my day, how much of a whatever I might feel in my natural man. I know that in Christ I can learn that which is needful. My hope is really only on him. I spent far too many years trying with no success and living in the knowledge of that. And now I hate to use the word try, but now I set myself to do. Sometimes I feel pretty much a failure. But what do I know, right? That's how I can feel. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. And he has shown it to us. And it is that that Megan spoke of with when you fall. You get to count it all joy, because of the steadfastness and the mercy and grace and long-suffering of God towards us.
I'd like to think that everyone listening here is in that place where they fear the Lord. And a while ago, we did a study on fear of the Lord. And I'd like to think that all of us have been able to reach that point where we fear the Lord. And so the scripture can be personalized in that if we fear him, then he will show us his covenants. If we fear him, it's wide open. We can receive anything from the Lord.
Yeah. It's an important thing, fear of the Lord. And he, you know, it's not like it's a fear where we can't come to him like a abusive father who you would be afraid of, but it's where we know that we're answerable to him. I know that we're told to that which we know to do. What that is in each of our days is different, that battle that we fight. But we can be, we can lack mindfulness and steadfastness on the subject, so to speak, to perform it. And what we know we need to do. And then what we need to know or what we need to learn next, well, that's for next. But that which we have heard and received, let us do. And in a way, be afraid not to do it. But praise God for his grace and mercy. Psalm 27:11.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. You know that word plain there? And we're going to see it again. It's actually the word straight in Isaiah, believe it or not. It is a path that is righteous, a path that is just, a path that is equitable. And here you see, when I read these scriptures, you see a dependence upon God. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I mean, we know our own way. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I mean, part of that there is that it's so dang easy to get off. And, you know, to fall off. But also, it is the stand and the path that gives a different testimony, that even your enemies might come to repent and know the truth. One long ago, the men, and I'm trying to, you guys will know what book, but they heaping coals of fire upon their head. And the thing is, when your enemy is left with no excuse, it is their opportunity to repent. Too often we respond in like, and everybody's justified. Teach me thy way, O Lord. His way is a different way than ours. Lead me in a plain path because of my
Romans.
Go ahead.
That's in Romans 12:20.
They must have mentioned it recently in a, because it wasn't Romans, because that was last year. I remember it was a more recent one. They brought it up. But God's ways are different. And you know, if you look at when David went to revenge Nabal's refusal to bring, to give a portion to his men, when they had provided safety for Nabal and his shepherds and all of that, they lost not a thing while David and his men were there. And the Lord led him in that plain path, and the way he led him was when he had Abigail come and give a different testimony. And he received it. And part of that testimony of hers was she knew who he was. She knew he was going to come into the kingdom. And she knew he did not want blood on his hands. And This is, I think, David praying, teach me thy way, O Lord. And he moved forward, and the Lord kept him. Praise God.
One thing that's hitting me as you're saying that, too, is, you know, the way of the Lord is
diametrically opposed.
Diametrically opposed to our way. Our way is the way of the flesh. And we have to put that down. We have to put that old man down. We have to put that flesh down and seek his ways. And he will show us his ways. We just have to be willing.
Yes. That's that meek spirit that it doesn't take offense at being wrong. But the truth of the matter is we bring nothing to the table that's right, so we shouldn't really be surprised to find out that our ways are not his ways, right? I think of that scripture in Revelation, you know, they ever came in by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, when you ever come by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony gives evidence to it. And that's what we want to have. We want to have that right testimony. Because we all have testimony, but we're not always right in that. I mean, our testimony doesn't always agree and glorify the Lord. But that's that work that he's doing in us, and that's why we join together, is that we can learn his ways. You know, that's why we're exhorted to fellowship, why we are exhorted to prayer, why we are exhorted to study. Teach me thy way. That's a prayer. That is a written prayer, isn't it? It's a beseeching the Lord for something. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I need your help, God. Help me. David followed. Psalm 32:8.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye.
Would you read 9 and 10, or 9, I mean, just read down through the end of that psalm, Karen? And you can start again at 8. This, again, is a psalm of David.
Okay, Psalm 32, 8, and just read down through 10?
Through 11, it's 11 verses.
Okay. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
That's a beautiful thing, that if we will trust in the Lord, it's not about us doing everything right. And it's easy to look at life that way and think you're supposed to be a performer of this, that, and the other thing. But when we trust in the Lord, his mercy will compass about us. We're kept, we're in a right place, because we trust him. And, you know, that trust, it starts with just trusting the simple message of the gospel, that what he did was sufficient for a sinner like me and like you. But it also means that we trust him to do his will, knowing that it is only good. And that's what we're going after. And as we do, we can be those people, and we are those people, that his mercy will compass us about. And praise God. That's, there's no occasion of stumbling in that, because the stumble isn't to screw up. The stumble is to not trust in that sufficiency of the blood. And it's sure. We can trust it. Which is a mighty hope. I like the rest of those verses, so. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He's there to do this for us. He says he'll do it. But let us not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Did you guys want to say anything on that one?
Not on that one. From here.
Psalm 37:5.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
You know how we've heard, you know, when you've lifted something up to the Lord and prayed for it, that you can leave it there and know that he's heard you? I looked up that word commit, to roll upon or repose on. You know, to give it to him and rest in that. To depend, you know, I mean, it's a dependence upon the Lord. Is when I read these scriptures that really kind of, where you actually depend in faith in his word and what he has told us, and we move forward in that. And we've heard that a lot. We've heard how, actually Steve and I had a little conversation, and he corrected me, because I had, a week or two ago, I just felt kind of empty and overwhelmed or whatever, inadequate to any task. and I finally just got down and serious about it and prayed and read the word, and I got up and I was different. And the way I had put it to him is, I kind of forget, but he said, the thing is, kind of like I had received and then I got up, he said, really, you get up and that's when you receive. And that's really the truth. We get up because we believe him, and when we do, God is there. We get up because we believe him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust. That's a confidence, a sureness in him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that's something we can grow in if we will. But we grow by doing. And that's what we got to be about.
That's a really cool verse. One of my favorites.
And then in the same chapter, 37 of Psalm, verse 23.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
That's that being led of the Spirit. And not going back unto the law. And those, that word ordered is also established. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you know, you delight in his way. God's ways are only good if you'll, and if we'll just walk in them. We hear people give testimony to that joy. Paul's in the chat. He's one of those that, that's one of his major ministries, is just how good God is. He delights in his way. we can delight in God's way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In God's way.
Amen.
Psalm 78:53.
Okay. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Do I need to read more on that?
Well, it is where it's a psalm written that gives kind of a testimony of the history of Israel, and this part, of course, is when they were delivered from Egypt. If you, just to put it in context, if you want to read 51, 52,
53. Okay. And stop at 53?
I think so, because it just continues on. I mean, it's not a good stopping place in Psalm 78, so people can go back and read it.
Okay. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies.
Yeah, so you see the context, and that's what he did. He led them as sheep. They didn't know where to go, what to do, or anything like that, and yet he is the good shepherd. And they didn't fear. Everything was taken care of, including them. Their enemies were kept at bay. He says in verse 55, he cast out the heathen also before them. Now this is on Joshua's time, and divided them an inheritance by line. This is what God does for those who will believe. He led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. You know, when Rahab gave testimony 40 years later to the two spies, she said, "We know what God did." 40 years earlier, they knew, and they were shaking in their boots. They knew the land they were in, God had given, the God of Israel had given to them, to Israel. They knew it. They remembered. For 40 years they had known of the deliverance of Egypt and had not forgotten. And so you had an armed, walled city that perished. And then a scripture very well known to us, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and people should just read the whole Proverbs 3, but taking 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Yeah. And this, to me, first of all, is an act, a choice of our own, that we choose to trust in him with all our heart. We choose not to lean unto our own understanding, which can be pretty loud sometimes, but you can be louder than it. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is putting our whole dependence upon God and our whole faith and trust in God and submitting to it. We are dependent upon God. He's our only hope. He's the only one that's good. He's the only one that knows the right way. He's the only one that can lead us in right paths. We can't lead ourselves, but we have a God who will lead us. We just need to trust him with all our hearts and to not lean unto our own understanding. To choose his way over our way and in everything acknowledge him, lift it all up to him. And he'll direct our paths. Commit thy way, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I mean, all of these scriptures speak of this. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. He will. He wants to. Did you guys want to say something there?
No, I don't think so.
I just say amen to that.
Yep.
Amen.
Miss Karen, Isaiah 42:16.
Sorry, we're having trouble unmuting. Okay. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them.
This is a cool scripture, I think. He will bring the blind, which was us, by a way that we knew not. It's a different way. He will lead them in paths that they have not known. It's a different walk of life. It's going to take us to a different end. He will make darkness light, and we dwelt in darkness. But he'll make it light before us and crooked things straight. And this is that word that's translated plain in Psalm 27. Crooked things straight, that word that meant righteous, that meant just, that meant equitable. Walk in his way. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. That's a promise we can grab a hold of, if we will. He ain't going to forsake us, and he will do this. That is the point of great rejoicing, isn't it? To my muted friends.
Amen.
Amen. We're trying to unmute.
Yes, it is.
We can't do it.
Did you guys want to say something on this one while you're unmuted, any of you?
No, I can't think of anything. Yeah, it all comes, well, it all comes down to, are we going to trust him? And we've seen that through the scripture, that he will do these things.
It's a verb. It's not a sit down and do nothing word.
It
requires action on our part.
And the thing I know is in doing that, we stumble around and fall and find ourselves not, I mean, it's not like we're spectacular examples in many ways, but the trust transcends us. And it is why we had to be, receive the grace and mercy of God for ourselves and walk in it. But it is why we also love and give that grace and mercy to others, because they're no different than us. And we're no different than them. And we, you know, it says to exhort one another. And sometimes exhortation is to say, hey, that ain't right. But, it is this hope that we press on to and that mark that we press on to that we exhort one another in daily, because we need that exhortation, all of us. We need that hope. We need that remembrance. We need to know that we can do this. We can trust him. We can trust him with this day. He doesn't call us to trust him with 10 years from now. But today, he says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And we walk out our day committing our way unto him and having our hope in him who will perform these things, who is able. And we walk then in we walk it out, keeping our minds and our faces steadfast on Him, and we don't beat ourselves up because there's no profit and no grace in that. We do press on, but we, you know, we gotta forget about it and do the same to one another. He's the perfect one. And then the last scripture we'll look at tonight is John 16, verses 13 through 15. And this is comes in where he's again told his disciples that he'd be leaving, and again they're sorrowful and don't understand. And then Jesus comes in with these words.
"Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you."
Lest I forget it, one of the things I want to say, here Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And you notice here that the Holy Spirit takes that which is he is given and gives it unto us, just like Jesus took that which he was given and gives it unto us. And it is exactly what those like Davy and like Steve in my life, what the Lord gives them, they then bring it to us. But here he's talking about that Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. He will guide you in all truth, into all truth, into it. We don't start out there. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." That's the exact same thing Jesus did. "And he will shew you things to come." So, you're safe. I'm safe. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you." He's here to share mighty and glorious and wonderful and hopeful and important things with us. The Lord sent him to us. He said it was needful that he went, because unless he did, this couldn't have happened. But he did. And it has happened. And this is the hope we walk in, that he will guide us into all truth. He's speaking that which he's shown to speak, that which is right for us, that which is needful for us, that which prepares us, that which guides us, that which delivers us from destruction, both now and for eternity. Jesus gets all the glory there.
Amen.
And that is the way with us. Jesus gets all the glory. We can't attribute any of this to us. We just come into agreement with him and trust him. Trust his love for us. Trust his mercy for us. Trust his power in us. And we stand up because we stand up in him. We don't stand up in us. Which is a pretty good deal, if you ask me. That's actually more than a pretty good deal. It's pretty magnificent to have the opportunity to be found in him. By faith, through the blood of the Lamb. So I exhort people to believe God, trust him, and choose him. And stand because of him, and because that his mercy is sufficient. We read that. His mercy compasses us about. The fact that we fall short, the fact that we got a lot to learn, all of these things, if we will trust him, even for that, he's a merciful God. He wants to do these things in us. He's not asking us to do them in us. He's asking us to let him do it in us. But it comes through obedience. We know the word. We need to do the word. And he'll be there with us. And we will delight in his ways. Because they are good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, thank you all for joining us, and may the Lord bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.